Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So late Saturday night, there was a breaking news alert from the New York Times. This was late Saturday night. The Secret Service acknowledged that over the past 2 years, it had denied requests from Donald Trump's security team for more federal resources. Let me say that again here. This is breaking news from the New York Times. Saturday night, the Secret Service acknowledged that over the past 2 years, it had denied requests from Donald Trump's security team for more federal resources. Chew on that one for just a moment here. And then, of course, Sunday morning, that big news was replaced by this big news. President Biden abandoned his campaign under pressure from Democrats. That was the another New York Times news alert that came out. Let's see. Evelyn Pyburn with us every Monday. We talk Montana business news and much more, but she's got such great wisdom when it comes to, you know, big news days like today. It's always great getting her insight. Evelyn, thanks for being with us. And yeah, your reaction to the big news that Joe Biden was withdrawn from the presidential race.
Well, you know, again, I guess I wasn't surprised. I mean, there was plenty of talk about it, and it just it seemed unrealistic that the man could go forward. But, you know, it was unrealistic that he should be president and making the kinds of decisions a president has to make and dealing worldwide with really, really significant, important issues and important people. And so, I agree with President Trump. Why, if he can't run, if he's not fit to run for office, what makes him fit to serve until after the election? I mean, it's just a unreal, bizarre situation.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think the biggest question we all have is, okay, now they're saying that he really wasn't prepared. He's not fit to be president. But look, we all saw this 4 years ago.
Right. Absolutely. I think before he was elected, even, there was plenty of evidence that he just, well, I mean, the way he campaigned before said that he wasn't capable of dealing with the pressures and issues and complications of being a president. But I don't know how you make sense of anything happening anymore, because for one thing, it's also orchestrated, and I find myself sorting through things and going, okay, is this a real event or is this an orchestrated event? Because, you know, you look at the whole long line of things that has happened, and
yeah.
I mean, one thing about it, if it was orchestrated, it's been a dismal failure for the Democrats.
Yes, the tail is wagging the dog, right? And orchestrated. You hit the nail on the head there with that word. All right, more to follow with Evelyn Pyburn right after this.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Congress is in charge of doling out federal dollars, be it to federal agencies or even to Israel or Ukraine. But in the House of Representatives lately, Congress failed to fund itself. The House defeated a $7 billion appropriations bill for the legislative branch. It was a surprise misstep for the House majority. And it's an ominous sign for Republicans to pass the rest of their fiscal 2025 spending bills on the floor before the August recess. Seven of the bills are far more politically divisive. 10 Republicans joined Democrats to tank the legislation. A long-standing and contentious freeze over a cost-of-living pay raise for members of Congress, in addition to concerns about higher spending, contributed to GOP dissent. Republican Georgia Representative Andrew Clyde voted against the bill. He raised concerns on the floor about increased funding levels and the constitutionality of maintaining the pay freeze through appropriations bills. House Appropriations Committee Chairman Tom Cole said the failure was, quote, inexplicable. Cole added that he had not heard significant concerns from members. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With some hazy sunshine across the area for today. We're looking at high temperature readings around 93 degrees in Bozeman, 96 in Billings. For tonight, clear to partly cloudy. Low temperatures in the low to mid 60s. Then on Tuesday, we can expect more hazy sunshine. Highs in the mid 90s in Bozeman to around 101 degrees in the Billings area. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
All right, I'm looking at my calendar for next week. It's pretty wide open, and that's a good thing. With all the big topics in the news right now, the last thing you want me to do is fill the show with a bunch of guests, and then we're not allowing you to talk about the big stories of the day. We're not allowing you to be heard all across Montana. Hey, this is the show where Montana gets to talk, where you get to be heard all across Montana. I'll be at the Governor's Cup in Kalispell next week. Other than that, calendar is wide open for you.
All the talks we've had over the years, including what you've told me about not using alcohol and other drugs, they stick with me. And believe it or not, they really do make a difference, especially at times that matter most.
Hey, want a drink?
No, thanks, I'm good. So thank you, Dad, for talking and preparing me for what's ahead.
Thank you for talking.
For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we're going to get to several interesting business news headlines here, many of which are in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet here this morning. But, yeah, I want to take advantage of the great wisdom of Evelyn Pyburn here on the big news of the day, of course, as well. You know, already now, Montana Senator Steve Daines and Montana U.S. Senate candidate Tim Sheehy are saying that Joe Biden not only that he should, you know, basically resign as president. He should step down as president altogether if he's not fit to be their presidential candidate. How is he fit to be the president of the United States right now? And that's one angle. The other angle is, I think, look, if Kamala Harris ends up being their nominee, boy, what an anti-business background she has got. I can get into that a little bit later in the show, but your thoughts, Evelyn?
Oh, yeah. I don't know that she's that much better than Biden in the sense of what she's likely to put forth as policies, and hardly anybody could be more anti-business than Biden has been, but I think that Kamala will give it her best shot. It's not a good prospect for anybody in business.
Yeah, Don Kay, the chairman of the Montana GOP, he said this. He says it's 1968 all over again. President steps down as vice president runs, only to be crushed in the general election. Ironically, the convention to nominate was also held in Chicago that year. History is very interesting, and that is for sure. All right, let's get into the business news headlines here. I think it was last week you told us some, you know, national news when it comes to startups, entrepreneurial startups, and then now you've got a Montana-specific angle to that story.
Yes. So I reported that new business starts in the nation are increasing, and a researcher explained his surprise and puzzlement given that they were on a decline prior to COVID. But the Minneapolis Federal Reserve District, of which Montana is one of its states, reports much the same results and surprise. But they include the fact that of the states in its district, Montana has the highest number of business startups per capita. They measure startups as the number of new business starts for every 1,000 workers. So Montana had the highest startup rate with 2.8 and North Dakota the lowest with 1.6. Minnesota, the state with the largest number of startups, and which gave the gave most weight to the district average had 1.7 startups. In the 14 quarters since the pandemic began in March 2020, employer businesses filed an average of 2.6 applications for every 1,000 workers nationwide. In Minnesota, Montana, and North and South Dakota, the average was 1.8, so just somewhat below the national average. In the 14 quarters before 2020, the averages were 2 nationwide and 1.4 in the Minneapolis district states. The survey focused on the startups that hire employees, since they have the greatest impact on an economy. One of the researchers said that the higher level of startups they are seeing could be a new normal. And they also said the surprising surge in business applications and registrations seen during the pandemic represented genuine entrepreneurial activity and resulted in considerable job creation and reallocation of jobs and workers. And while they talk about it as being a big surprise, I have read before, and it seems to me to always seem to be the case, that when people have economic struggles, that's what they do, is they start their own businesses. They want to have greater direction in their own lives and more control over their economic circumstances, I think, and so it makes sense that you see more business startups when there isn't as many jobs or there's a lot of uncertainty in the economy. So I think it's not surprising that Montana is often struggling like that. So.
Yeah. Well, and I think the uptick in startups here in Montana, I mean, we've got, you know, the tech industry, a major hub of Bozeman, for example. And then on top of that, more people moving to Montana, fleeing these other states, and oftentimes maybe starting up their own business, the ability to work and sell and operate remotely now as well. And of course, you know, it's one thing to have numbers about starting new businesses, but the challenge is keeping those new businesses up and running down the road. That's where sometimes the challenge can really set in. Unemployment rate is still low. The unemployment rate remained at 3.1% in May here in Montana. That is near the historic all-time low of 2.3%. And then you've got a report here as well. Evelyn has a report here about young adults working and what those numbers are looking like in particular. So we'll get to those stories and more coming up here. We're already hitting our next break. So Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal. Yes, stand by. We'll talk more after the farm and ranch report here. Unemployment rate remains nearly 1% below the national unemployment rate of 4%, so nearly 1% lower than the national rate that's going on right now.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Many people feel like they're barely making ends meet. In a recent study of U.S. workers, nearly half of respondents said they had less than $1,000 in savings, and 75% said they consider themselves to be living paycheck to paycheck. However, there are some small ways to save on a tight budget, and there are apps that can help you with the process. There are budgeting apps like Rocket Money, which can help you with everything from spending analysis and budgeting tools to bill negotiation and subscription cancellation services. The app is free, but some features cost money, and you'll need to sign up for a premium membership to unlock everything. And apps like Acorn and Chime are all-in-one financial platforms that have roundup features, so you can link your debit card, checking account, or credit card to the platform. And whenever you make a purchase, the company rounds up the amount to the next full dollar and deposits the extra change to your savings account. Many apps use a variety of techniques to make saving money less of a hassle. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With some hazy sunshine across the area for today, we're looking at high temperature readings around 93 degrees in Bozeman, 96 in Billings. For tonight, clear to partly cloudy. Low temperatures in the low to mid 60s. Then on Tuesday, we can expect more hazy sunshine, highs in the mid 90s in Bozeman to around 101 degrees in the Billings area. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Fromm.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordland.
USDA reported Friday that cattle and calves on feed as of July 1st totaled 11.3 million head. That inventory 1% above last year's level. Now, that inventory included 6.82 million head of steer and steer calves, up 1% from last year, accounting for 60% of inventory. All heifer and heifer calves accounted for 4.48 million head. Placements in feedlots during June totaled 1.56 million head, 7% below last year, while marketings of fed cattle during June were 9% below last year at 1.79 million head, the second lowest for June since the series began in 1996.
Are you concerned about the impact government policies could have on your cattle business? One way to make your voice heard in Washington is by joining NCBA. When you join, you'll be part of the nation's oldest and largest national cattle industry organization that has a professional team working in Washington, D.C. on issues that matter to cattle-producing families nationwide. Don't stay on the sidelines. Make your voice heard by joining NCBA today at the website ncba.org.
A coalition of agricultural spray drone distributors is banding together to form a grassroots industry group. The move comes in response to proposed legislation aimed at banning drones manufactured by a Chinese company. The group intends to represent, protect, and advocate for the interests of agricultural drone spray use in the U.S. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got a message here from Monty in Roundup earlier this morning. Kamala Harris can't do both jobs. She can't campaign and attempt to run this country at the same time any better than Joe Biden could. They need to keep their puppet in place. His replacement has at least attempted to get elected. Not only can she not do both jobs, she can't do either job, if you ask me. But Monty, thanks for that message. We'll talk more about the big news of the day here in just a few minutes. Back to business here, though. Every Monday, we like to get to the business news, get your work week started off right with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. Evelyn, obviously we're still fighting fires. We've had, some wildfires across the state here. I thought it was interesting. A friend of mine in Butte sent me a video from her house. And it was I believe it's the Blacktail Canyon fire outside of Butte. And she says, I don't know who these super scoopers belong to, but if these are Tim Sheehy's Bridger Aerospace airplanes out here, they just saved my house. Boy, that really puts things in perspective, doesn't it? Here you got John Tester lying to us, saying what a great job Joe Biden has been doing, et cetera, how Joe Biden was 100% with it. And meanwhile, the fake news media has been attacking Tim Sheehy's company because he's a Republican Senate candidate. And yet, that could have been his aircraft up there saving people's homes near Butte.
Yeah. I mean, well, that, it's not surprising. I mean, when anybody who's in business and I mean, you have to be doing something that serves and helps the public in order to have a business, and that he's involved in something that is life-threatening, and it just makes sense that if these are his planes, that they are saving people's homes and stuff. But I find it interesting that at one time, Tester's ads vilify Sheehy for being rich, and the next time they vilify him for not being rich and his company's going broke. So,
yeah, great point. Well, and And that whole story that they used in this fake news media report to claim that his company was struggling, they quoted some liberal professor from the University of Montana. Well, and what they were saying is that, well, what the business did was they invest, you know, they went public, they were doing very well, so they went public, that's how successful they were, and then they took this infusion of cash and invested it in purchasing more aircraft to fight fires. And so they're saying, well, look at the books. The books look really bad. Well, I guess because they invested back in purchasing more aircraft to do more business and to help fight more fires, you guys are calling that a failure. These people that have zero idea about actual business and how the real world actually works.
Yeah, most of them aren't in business for a good reason.
That's right. Well, let's talk more. We talked a little bit about the unemployment numbers. You've got some data here when it comes to young adults. What numbers stood out to you?
Well, I thought it was really interesting. I mean, when they were scrutinizing young people in the labor force in the hope of, you know, finding a way to squeeze out more employees because, of course, there's a labor shortage going on in Montana. But most young Montanans are participating in the labor force, with 66% of those between the ages of 16 and 24 either working or actively seeking employment. Within that age group, the labor force participation increases significantly with age. Only about half, or 52% of teenagers aged 16 to 19 are in the labor force, with the rate increasing to 79% for those who are 20 to 24. Most young adults cite school as the reason they aren't participating in the labor force. A portion of those ages 16 to 24, or 12%, are not participating because, and I found this most interesting, they are providing unpaid care to family members. And so I just was really surprised that non-working young adults provide elder care at higher rates than other age groups. An estimated 9% of non-workers in this age group provided care for elderly family members. And that just kind of blew me away. The report also noted that Bozeman has the highest rate of non-working young adults among the state's largest cities. About a third of those under 25 living in Bozeman are not in the labor force, and Billings has the second highest rate of non-working young adults, with 32% as compared to Bozeman's 34%.
Interesting.
I thought that, yeah.
Yeah, because I could see where Bozeman would be that high, because, you know, if attending school is the reason why many are not in the workforce, well, then that would seem to me a large chunk of that are Montana State University students. I would assume Missoula may have been second, you know, given the other major university.
Right.
But, of course, you know, Billings has Rocky Mountain College, MSU Billings, and things like that, too. So I could see why Billings would still rank up there then as well.
Yeah, it was an interesting number, that's for sure.
That's right.
So, and then another thing that is in the news and we haven't talked about was that sometime this summer, Yellowstone County will initiate an arraignment court, which no other county in the state has ever had before. And the need for an arraignment court will be essential once the proposed short-term holding facility becomes a reality, according to Yellowstone County's Justice of the Peace, David Carter. The new court will affect almost all aspects of how the court system works. It will serve all courts, district justices of the peace, and municipal courts. And it should improve the efficiency of the whole system, according to Carter. A glimpse of what an arraignment court is might be reflected in the TV series Night Court, but probably only just a little bit. Ours will not be like that.
I don't know. I've seen a couple of bald-headed law enforcement officers in Yellowstone County that could be the bull. Is it Bull? What's his last name? Bull on Night Court. Remember that guy? Man.
Yeah,
that's a throwback Thursday, if it wasn't a Monday for you right there, Night Court. Well, Evelyn, appreciate your insight and your coverage as always. Thanks so much for being with us. Yeah, no, that's very interesting about this arraignment court, a new arraignment court that Yellowstone County is going to be kicking off, according to Yellowstone County Justice of the Peace, David Carter. Real good guy, by the way. But that's interesting. So, you know, think about it. Okay, well, what does this mean for the rest of the state of Montana? Think about how, you know, jails are bogged down, how courts are bogged down. I'm assuming that this effort will take a lot of work off of the plates of other judges, the other district judges in Yellowstone County. And there's obviously big backlog, et cetera. So think about it if you're in Great Falls. Bozeman, Butte's probably struggling with it as well. But in Bozeman, for example, where they've got a backlog in the court system, well, if you can have a concept like this to take work off of the plates of other judges, then that should help out. Although then again, you've got these liberal judges that waste so much time on all this absurd stuff like climate change lawsuits and everything that they'll probably still figure out a way to waste a lot of time if you give them even more time. All right, let's see. You know, speaking of wasting time, if you're somebody who has been wasting time with diets over the internet or fad diets or trying to do it all through a pill, and then the moment you go off for the pill, it doesn't work anymore, let me tell you about a program that actually works. Don't waste your time with other fad diets. Get a hold of our friends at Billings Last Diet. We've got listeners that have lost over 100 pounds. I lost 33 pounds in under 3 months and have kept it off over 6 years later. So if you want a program that works, if you want to not waste your time, check out BillingsLastDiet.com. Get a hold of their coaches. They have a remote option now, and it's working. So even if you don't live in the Billings area, if you're listening in Butte right now, you're listening in Three Forks right now, you can give them a call at 294-6751. They'll mail you the protein products, the scale and everything, and then remote coach. Montana Senator Steve Daines addressing a national audience at the Republican National Convention as he talked about his efforts to win back majority control of the U.S. Senate in support of President Trump. He was sitting, by the way, right next to President Trump, a sign of how important it is that Montana elects Tim Sheehy in the U.S. Senate. Meanwhile, flip-flop, flat-top takes Chuck Schumer's marching orders once again. The full story, MontanaTalks.com.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Well, this is a nice surprise, quick last-minute interview we were able to schedule. Great to have Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines with us on the phone lines right now. Senator, great to have you on the show.
Hey, glad to join you, Aaron.
Well, before we get to the big news of the day, call Thursday night, President Trump, you were sitting, what, two seats away from President Trump during the big Republican National Convention. What was that like? Can you share any of your conversations from up there?
Well, Aaron, I'll tell you, I never thought as a kid growing up in Montana that someday I got to be part of making history with President Trump. I spoke to the convention that night, had a chance to make Montana proud, and then was seated with the Trump family, seated in between Don Jr. and the president. And gosh, what a night! And what a night for President Trump to accept the nomination between Hulk Hogan and Kid Rock. It's a night you'll never forget. But when I was standing next to President, you know, of course, he had his big ear bandage on, and I said to him quietly, I said, "Mr. President, it was a quarter of an inch that separated tonight from being a funeral versus a celebration of nominating you as our next president of the United States." it was a reflective moment, and the president has been changed by what happened. We could go Saturday, and how would it not? I mean, every human, when you literally dodge an assassin's bullet like he did, you are reminded that your days are numbered, and he's gotten extra days by the grace of God. It's a mystery, Aaron, why that fire chief's life was taken, why there were two other Trump rally goers who were seriously wounded, and yet the president of the United States escaped an assassin's bullet by a quarter. I don't understand that, but I'm grateful that God did protect the life of President Trump, and that he'll be our next president in January of 2025.
Yeah, I thought it was a powerful speech by Franklin Graham, who addressed that same question you just raised right there, but then also Pastor Lorenzo Sewell out of Detroit, who called it a miracle by a millimeter. I saw Saturday night before the Sunday news dropped. Saturday night, a breaking news alert from the New York Times. The Secret Service acknowledged that over the past 2 years, it had denied requests from Donald Trump's security team for more federal resources. I mean, just it's unbelievable everything they have done and tried to do to this man, and yet he is a survivor.
You know, Aaron, I enjoy long-range shooting. It's something I've gotten into in the last several years, and anybody who shoots a long rifle, a .223, a 55-grade bullet, laying prone at 130 yards, that's a layup of a shot. I mean, that shot is not a difficult shot to make. And to think that that half of that protective detail that day was DHS. They weren't Secret Service. There weren't canines there. They weren't clearing the perimeter 130 yards out, Aaron, with a guy laying prone there. I can't wait to hear what they bring out in the hearings today on Capitol Hill. The House Republicans are pushing forward in this. And I tell you what's outrageous, the Biden administration has not made a single comment on this. I mean, that's chilling to me. And I'm just grateful, despite complete lapses and incompetencies of that protective detail, President Trump's life was spared.
You know, last Thursday, that same day, you were sitting two folks away from President Trump at the Republican National Convention. That's when we started hearing this chatter that Joe Biden may be forced to withdraw from the race. And then, of course, cough, cough, COVID test. He goes back to the basement. And then Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi called on Joe Biden to withdraw from the race. And after he gets his marching orders from Chuck Schumer, then John Tester also joins in and calls for Biden to withdraw. Even though he's been supporting Biden every step of the way, he has been lying about Joe Biden's ability to do the job. And of course, now here we are. Last Monday, we were talking about the assassination attempt on a president. Today, we're talking about a president withdrawing from the race.
Aaron, we've got to hold these Senate Democrats accountable. I mean, John Tester was out talking, said Joe's 100% with it. I'm with Joe Biden. This was a massive cover-up. They remember they put Joe Biden basically in a bunker the last time he ran in 2020. They didn't even let him out much during the campaign. And this goes back much longer than the last year. This goes back several years. And what I'm concerned about is that we have a president that is not up to the task from a mental acuity viewpoint, never mind his policies, which we all vigorously disagree with. This is just about mental acuity. Think about the Russians, the Chinese, the Iranians, the North Koreans, who are seeing a very weak and somewhat incapacitated commander-in-chief. That's why he needs to resign now. He needs to step down now. He has 6 months left to serve as president. And this, again, is the Democrats. They are consumed by one thing, and that's power. And they'll do anything to keep power. And this is why Montanans have a chance to scream in the November election and to vote for Tim Sheehy and to send John Tester back to Big Sandy. This is unacceptable. They covered this up. And now we've got Kamala Harris as their nominee. Good luck with that. I mean, Joe Biden's from Scranton, Pennsylvania. Kamala Harris is from San Francisco. She was a district attorney, the Attorney General of California. Do you think Montanans, the American people, want to elect a San Francisco radical to be the commander-in-chief? I'm confident President Trump is going to have a great night in November. But I'll tell you what, we've got to roll up our sleeves and make sure we send Tim Sheehy back to Washington to support Donald Trump. and to make sure Kamala Harris never sees public office again.
Yeah, she is one of the most radical of the radical. I saw Chad Pergram with Fox News was reporting that, maybe Kamala will help the Democrats with down ballot races like races here in Montana. I don't see how Kamala is better than Joe. I mean, Joe was down on Trump 20 points here in Montana, but I don't see how Kamala could do any better. I mean, if I'm listening in Butte, Montana right now, Joe Biden canceled union jobs. He's attacking Colstrip. He shut down the Keystone Pipeline. But at least he was the Irish Catholic union guy in theory. Kamala is anti-fracking. She wants us to reduce red meat consumption, ban plastic bags. And yet, as I understand it, the head of the Montana Democrat Party has endorsed her.
Well, look, Kamala Harris is a radical in her ideology. She really, really is one of the far left San Francisco Nancy Pelosi liberal radicals. That's who she is. Joe Biden, as you mentioned, he grew up the right way in Scranton, Pennsylvania. And you know, Joe Biden was just being manipulated by Barack Obama and the lefties because he wasn't up to the task to be the commander in chief. Kamala Harris is a radical ideological lefty. And you have these Californians moving to Montana who are Republicans by 2-1 since 2018. We've been looking at voter registration from California. These newly minted Montanans are 2-1 Republicans. They don't want to see Kamala Harris elected president of the United States. They fled California to get away from that. And that's why I think Kamala Harris, there's only one Democrat less popular than Joe Biden. It's Kamala Harris. The last numbers we saw, Joe Biden was at 39% approval rating. Kamala was 38%. So I think they're desperate. They had no other options. They were having a debate, the Democrats, do we go forward with a wounded Joe Biden or a damaged Kamala Harris? That was the choice they had. They only had really one choice to make because they couldn't go forward with Biden because mentally you can't do it. So they've got Kamala Harris. I don't think that dog's going to hunt real well here in states like Montana.
Do you worry at all that the fake news media will create this phony Camelot, you know, the Kamala Camelot style coverage where they will try to carefully rebrand her into something she's not to try to help her pull off a win or at least help down ballot tickets?
Of course they will. Of course they will. Look, I sat next to Kamala Harris for 2 years on the Homeland Security Committee. We were seatmates back when she was a U.S. senator. And I thought to myself, with her aspirations, someday I could see her probably being a vice president nominee with a Democrat presidential nominee. And I thought, God help us if that ever happens. And now she's one election away from being the president of the United States. She's got to be stopped. And I'm confident Montanans will see Kamala Harris as actually even more dangerous than Joe Biden. The question is, how's that going to play in some of these more swing states where, as you said, Aaron, the media is going to fawn all over her? There'll be some kind of a bump. She'll probably pick some kind of governor, perhaps, of a Rust Belt state to serve on the ticket. But at the end of the day, the Americans will have a choice between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. I can't think of a more disparate choice than yet. I think you'd go back to like the Reagan
success
days.
Versus failure. Yeah, and she's been every part of this failure, like just like John Tester has. All right, quick break. Stand by.
This episode is brought to you by Lyft. Where are you going? It's the first thing you see in the Lyft app. Whether you're seeing besties or traveling solo, making career moves, or just a move to hang in the park, Lyft can help. With an on-time pickup promise for scheduled rides to the airport, extra comfort for more legroom, and wait and save when you're not in a rush. So no matter where you're going, choose Lyft and get more out of summer.
Fox News commentary.
President Biden might be laid up with COVID, but that didn't stop another round of student loan forgiveness. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
I'm Dana Perino, co-host of The Five and co-anchor of America's Newsroom. Join me for my brand new podcast, Perino on Politics. Listeners of Everything Will Be Okay will gravitate toward this podcast too. Every Monday, I'm going to talk to people I trust in politics as they tell me what they're seeing and thinking in the 2024 election cycle. As they prep me to cover the upcoming election, they'll prep you, the voters, too. Make sure you subscribe to this series on FoxNewsPodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts and leave a rating and review.
COVID, words, tall stairs, all things that may slow down President Biden, but not his ability to buy votes with taxpayer dollars. This week, the Biden administration announced so-called forgiveness to the tune of $1.2 billion for 35,000 public service workers. This brings the tally to $168.5 billion in student loan forgiveness for roughly 4.8 million people. This Biden administration loan forgiveness workaround pertains to those who made 120 qualifying monthly payments while working in the public service sector. But why would anyone continue to pay back their debts if this administration promises to dole out more free money courtesy of the American taxpayer? It sets an awful precedent and does nothing to address the underlying issue of overpriced higher education. This move also stresses our national debt and the ramifications of that national debt. What a joke. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Democracy 2024.
Former President Trump telling an RNC crowd,
with faith and devotion, I proudly accept your nomination for President of the United States. Thank you.
Reflecting on the attempt on his life, saying, I'm not supposed to be here, and paying tribute to Corey Comparator, a volunteer firefighter fatally shot at the Pennsylvania rally, protecting his family from gunfire.
There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for others. This is the spirit that forged America in her darkest hours. And this is the love that will lead America back to the summit of human achievement and greatness. This is what we need.
Announcing supporters, he'd helped raise $6.3 million for Corey's family and for two other men injured in the shooting. From the RNC in Milwaukee,
Christian.com. Code 222. Brought to you from the Montana Hot Springs Spas, home of the only saltwater hot tub in Montana studios.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Now, pardon my French here for just a moment, but here's where we're at right now. It's kind of like we're damned if we do, damned if we don't, or damned if he does, damned if he doesn't. If Joe Biden stays in power, well, look at the dangerous situation he's already gotten our country in. If he does step down, well, then look at who would then step up as the president of the United States. Senator Steve Daines, thanks for sticking with us here for just a few more minutes. Kind of your thoughts on that.
Well, couldn't have said any better than that, Aaron. It's a horrible choice that we have right now in America between a president that's not up to the task from a mental capacity viewpoint and a vice president who's dangerous ideologically as a radical San Francisco liberal. So this is why the election can't come soon enough. We've got to elect President Trump. That will allow us to lift the spirits of the nation. There's a lot of parallels, Aaron, I think, to what happened in 1980 when you had a very weak President Jimmy Carter. We had high inflation. The Iranians had taken American citizens hostage in Tehran. The world was looking down on America. And suddenly Ronald Reagan stepped on the stage in January of 1981 and changed the course of history for our great nation. So, this is why we don't want to get depressed by what's happening. We want to be uplifted by the optimism of having a new administration. Think about a new Secretary of State, a new Secretary of Defense, a new Director of the CIA, a new head of the EPA, a new Secretary of Interior. I mean, imagine the team that President Trump will bring back to Washington and set this great country back on the right course. Think what we'll do to rebuild the U.S. military, to be that powerhouse, to get rid of this woke ideology. These generals now who are using pronouns and so forth and promoting this DEI crap on the military, that's going to be gone under President Trump. And I can't wait, Aaron, for that. I know some folks get a little bit bristled by that, but I stand by my comments, Aaron. And we've got to bring the respect back to the military that we once had and get rid of this woke ideology, whether it's in the schools, in the military, in our culture today. It's time to push back against it and get back to, as Tim Sheehy says, let boys be boys, let girls be girls. That's one of the great lines he shares and gets more applause than anything else.
Yeah. No, and it's, and the fact that you are sitting two seats away from President Trump, I think, to me, is so symbolic of how important this U.S. Senate race is in Montana, how important all these Senate races are to President Donald J. Trump. And, cause I, but I got to tell you though, you know, I share your optimism. I'm somebody who's been pretty realistic about the challenges facing our country, and the challenges are even greater than they were in 2016 after Obama. But I think President Trump's team is going to be more prepared in January of 2025. And look at what they accomplished in the last 4 years. And I think the American people have woken up. I certainly hope so. About a minute to go, Senator Daines. Anything else you want to share with folks across Montana? Anything else you want to share?
Well, I'd say, Aaron, you just said the best 4 years I had in Washington was when President Trump was in office, moving through the Supreme Court nominations, the Trump tax cuts, rebuilding the military, transforming the circuit courts. And that's why what's at stake here in 3.5 months is so important. As you mentioned, it's why President Trump and I were in his box together. He knows the Senate majority control runs right through Montana. We win. Tim Sheehy wins the state of Montana. We have majority control of the U.S. Senate. It's not that complicated. And Trump knows he needs to have a Senate that works with him. John Fetter voted to impeach Trump twice. He voted against every one of Trump's Supreme Court nominations. He voted against the Trump tax cut. He's got an F from the NRA. Sheehy has an A. Trump needs Sheehy. That's why it's all sights right now are set right here in the great state of Montana. We get to determine the future of the United States Senate, which is likely the future of the United States Supreme Court, because the two oldest justices on the court right now are Samuel Alito and Clarence Thomas. It's likely that President Trump will have two Supreme Court nominations while he's in office. That's why he's got to have a Republican Senate. That starts with Tim Sheehy.
Absolutely critical. That's right. I had to laugh. I saw it. One of the Missoula Democrats is promoting Pete Buttigieg as Kamala's running mate. I mean, they've all been failures. It's just crazy. Senator Daines, thanks for your time.